Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stop.
Hello and welcome to Movie Night. I'm your host, Rory Greenfield. We're here for a very special 80s movie extravaganza. I'm joined by two pretty familiar guests. If you listen to this pod regularly, I hope you do. One is, I don't know, do I need to introduce him? This is the first time I believe we've done this podcast together since we first did a podcast, which was The Dark Knight.
Aww.
All the way back.
Like
3 years ago now?
Two and a half years ago.
It's my partner in crime on the AI comic pod. It's Stuart Bridson. I don't really need to ask how you are because we talk most of the time. But for listeners at home, how are you, good sir?
Uncomfortable and sweaty.
Yeah, I think that's a fair reflection of how I feel. It's a horrible, sticky time of year. But I can't complain too much because summer is kind of nice and you can get to the beach. If you listen off mute, there might be some seagulls in the background on our next guest. So he's clearly by the seaside or at least, you know, Dublin where the seagulls just, you know, populate. Simon Dowling, regular guest, also known as Sir Hefty at Force. How are you doing?
I'm also exceptionally hot and there's just millions of birds outside the window who happen to live in town, and it's just the most annoying
thing. Do you think they're just like baying for blood? Are they just
for food and stuff? They're crazy.
Are they just looking at people as actual food? You know, people that are melting on the streets as potential targets.
City
giant Dublin vultures just roaming around.
They're everywhere. It's insane.
Yeah, I remember from my brief time in that nice city. We are doing something a little bit different. So in recent weeks, we've focused on directors and Oscars and God knows what else, films and things in more detail. But we're covering a whole 10 years of film. And we are going to come back, hopefully, maybe with different guests, maybe with the same ones, and do 90s and noughties, and maybe do more recent films. In a kind of special, we're going to try and attempt a top five 80s films. Now, when I put this out on Twitter, it got a kind of buzz and we got a WhatsApp group. And I think 80s for a lot of people is like the fundamental era of film. Mostly because I think people that I'd speak to are similar age to me. So kind of mid 30s, slightly older. And grew up with films, you know, in their childhood. And that's that nostalgia buzz and that kind of real sense of this is what you watched as a kid. It brings back all these memories and, you know, just all this buzz. But it also was a pretty different era, you know, for film. The 70s didn't have the kind of fun element that the 80s brought to cinema and some innovation. And so, you know, hopefully we'll talk about a few of the films that, you know, have been used over genres and copied and rehashed and remade and reproduced and, you know, universally adored. And then we'll talk about maybe some of the stuff that is just more unique to our childhood and what we really loved growing up. So it's a cool topic. Stu, I know we talk about 80s a bit, but it doesn't relate to comic book films as such, but you're a big, big fan of the kind of era because you always talk about certain films from that generation.
I'm a massive fan. Before before comic films really took off, the 80s is what I always referred to as being my golden era. That because when I started putting my list together the other day, I was able to rattle off the names of about 40 films like that, yeah, without even really thinking or looking at IMDb lists. And then it was a case of go through and try and work out which were the best. And I look at some of them and I remember watching them. Some of them I remember watching after the fact. A lot of these I've watched with my dad because I get a lot of my humour for these kind of, especially the comedy and the slapstick side of things, off my dad. And there's some of them that I go back and I've watched recently. And the thing you were saying then about the innovation, the 80s for me, that was when CG really took off. I mean, some of the films we will undoubtedly talk about, when you started seeing more computer graphics coming in over practical effects and things like that.
Yeah, there's at least two or three that are real standouts for it.
I think at least two, if not all three of us will have mentioned. It is, even nowadays, it still stands up and you still look at it and go, it's not crap. You know, it's not like Jaws where it was a big latex shark in the water. You know, it was still pretty cutting edge.
Jaws was a 70s film, but quite famously with Jaws, they shot the less of it as much as they could, basically. So because they knew how crap it looked, because Spielberg knew, the reason that film worked is because it was all about suspense and because you saw as little as a shark as possible, really. You just had that amazing score and that kind of build of suspense. And it was probably just released at the right time, do you know what I mean, when people were kind of vulnerable enough. You know, nowadays people go, oh, that's a big shark, I could have him, do you know what I mean? I'd take him on, or I'd do this, do you know what I mean? I'll invent something that took him out. It's people don't, you know, or I'll just tweet out for a bit of help for the Coast Guard. You know, people aren't in the same era, whereas then it was quite a simplistic time that kind of made its mark. 80s in a lot of way kind of shadows that. It's very much of the era. It's a couple of people mentioned Harinder, one of them, who is a regular Anfield Index gentleman on the Decipod and others, that it was a big kind of era for technology. So a lot of these films, you've got the giant phones, you've got the car stereos, you've got the you know, just everything that came out at that time. And that is kind of a big factor in these kind of films. And obviously the music was quite influential as well. Si, what does it kind of mean to you when someone just says, you know, the word 80s films?
Me, music, fashion, really are the things that come to my mind first. Just a very certain type of film, a certain type of humor, a kind of like a comedy, but a bit of a darkness about it as well. But I kind of felt like it's quite a fun era as well. A lot of a lot of fun films that were just, I think if you were about 13, 14, 15 age, they were the perfect film for you because they were kind of fun, but they still had these adult kind of undertones in them. But, and a lot of films that you could kind of act out as well with your mates. And
yeah, if you didn't pretend to be a Ghostbuster with your mates at one stage or another, a little bit like they reenacted in Stranger Things Series 2,
you had a
failed childhood, in my opinion.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you didn't reenact at least one scene from the Goonies, I would feel sorry for you slightly growing up.
And Rocky, everyone pretended they were Rocky at some point.
Yeah, and there's a few films that we might not mention, but there's just films galore that did shape who you are today, almost. Do you know what I mean? This is for me what defined you. I mean, you do dust off the unitard from Flashdance now and against you. I know you get it out of the closet.
What do you mean dust off? It's never off enough to get dusty.
In these long hot summers, I can see you relaxing
the gusset's seen better days, but it's okay.
Right, let's get to the point because we've got quite a lot to cover. Stu, give me number 5. What have you got?
Oh, were we actually supposed to put them in a proper rank? I did try.
Doesn't matter about the rank, right, really. Just give me one and we'll all go around one
fifth.
Each.
Joint fifth, because I refuse to choose between Die Hard and Young Guns.
Oh, interesting.
Jesus, okay. Nice.
So we're going to go Die Hard, are we?
I refuse to choose Die Hard and Young Guns.
So give me an amalgamation of Die Hard and Young Guns and why
Young
you would
Hard.
Choose. Young Hard.
Yeah, it's got a series of cowboys that get really confused.
Die Young sounds like a cool thing.
Stuck in a skyscraper because they don't understand what a skyscraper is.
It sounds incredible already.
It's the time travel film that you didn't realize that you needed to see.
It does look like a Back to the Future 4. It's got that kind of written all over it, you know.
Got Bruce Willis and Kiefer Sutherland and Emilio Estevez, Lou Diamond Phillips. What's not to love?
That sounds all your like a
perfect combination. That actually sounds great. Yeah.
They're making a Top Gun 2. I reckon we could get this passed.
Yeah, why the fuck
I think
not?
We could get this script passed, you know.
Emilio Estevez has got nothing better to do.
I'll be honest, neither of these are on my list. A Die Hard, I don't know how it isn't. I see Die Hard as like a trilogy. I ignore number 4. Did they make a number 5? I think they made a horrific number 5.
They've made several. We started rewatching them last year, so it's quite fresh in the mind. And then Christmas, obviously, because it's the perfect Christmas film.
It's the Christmas film. I'm going to argue to the death.
Get
it's
the fuck anyone
Christmas
who says
film.
It's not a Christmas film.
Yeah,
I know, and it gets so fucking annoying to people. Oh my god, I can't.
It's set on Christmas Eve, man. Yeah. It's got Christmas music in it. He's wearing a fucking Christmas hat, a Father Christmas hat at one stage or another. What is it? Ho ho ho! I've got the fucking guns now, or whatever. It's like, come on, man. It's a Christmas film. It's not sweet and jolly and nice. But then. Home Alone is quite brutal at the same instance. It's a violent film, and people say that's the best Christmas film of all time, you know?
He literally burns his head with a flamethrower. I mean, come on.
Exactly. He would go to juvie. He would go to a detention center. He would be. So don't give me Die Hard. It's not a Christmas film. Stu, Die Hard is a wonderful choice.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, wonderful film. And it's a film I will never grow old of watching. Never. I could watch it from 5 minutes, you know, in, or I could watch it the last 5 minutes. I don't care. I'd always watch it. Do you know what I mean? That's the kind of film it is.
You can't get sick of it. It's just that it's a quintessential action film. The plot's a bit meh, but the plot in most action films is the action's brilliant. It's got Bruce Willis in his default state in a dirty white vest. You know, and it's got all the cliche tropes of action films where he's able to take down this highly trained militia using a single handgun. It's just brilliant.
It is a masterpiece. And also, I must say, it's got Alan Rickman, the late, great Alan Rickman, who this was his first film role. And I think he was in his 40s. Yes. Yeah, quite famously.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so he died last year, age 69. So I think he was 39 when he did this film, 38. And it was his first ever breakthrough into cinema. And for me, it's still one of the most iconic villain performances of all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is. And I just thought he, without him, you know, this was the classic kind of 80s kind of proper villain story. Do you know what I mean? Every 80s film, action film.
He was 42.
Was he?
42 in his first...
Yeah, that's insane.
That's his first film role.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's always chance. There's always chance.
Yeah,
anyone who says your career is over...
I'm not giving up. I might be able to get a role in Die Hard 17, whatever they're up to now. I mean, by now, you're not dying hard.
Die Hard 17.
You're sort of dying, like, soft and spongy by this point.
Yeah, still dying.
Yeah.
Still dying. Groaning and dying.
Eventually, it's just going to be dead. Just dead.
Young Guns is an interesting choice, you know, because I don't think, unless Sai has also got this on his list.
I don't have Die Hard or the Young Guns.
No,
somehow.
This is an interesting choice for me. What we'll do, we'll come to Sai's choice and we'll come back around, and it is your second number 5, but we'll talk about ours. Simon, what have you got?
My film also features Emilio Estevez, and it is The Breakfast Club.
Okay.
It's a good shout. Do you know what? The reason I couldn't include it in my top 5 is because I only watched it for the first time this year. In a lot of people's eyes is sacrilege. So I'm doing this 100 films thing where I watch 100 films I've never seen before. A lot of these include 80s films like The Graduate, Rain Man, which I watched, I think is an 80s film. It's very 80s. Who am I kidding?
Yeah.
And then this. And do you know what? For a good while of this film, I didn't get it, and I thought, God, this could be 80s overload. And without that nostalgia kick, you know, when you watched it when you were young, I was really a bit dubious about it. And then about half an hour in, I was like, no, this is good. And then by the end of it, I was like, this is fucking incredible.
Did you put your hand up?
Yeah, pretty much. I was close.
Punch the air like Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, it was one of those moments. It's a really interesting film, and the characters and the development just in essentially one room is really clever. And I can see, obviously, it's a director who did Ferris Bueller and various others of that era.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
16 Candles and another Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, so kind of the big someone ones.
All
the
very,
80s.
Yeah. All very
John Hughes.
Very, very 80s.
Yeah, it's John Hughes. Yeah, so and he was kind of a master 80s. Of that period. So I know he was obviously well loved. He wrote Planes, Trains as well. Planes, Trains,
oh yeah,
Trains,
yeah.
And Wheels as well. This film is a really it kind of epitomizes the 80s for me. I mean, what are the main reasons you love it? Why is it on your list?
I just love films that are kind of based in like a room, like that's just mostly people speaking for the film, which is quite weird because a lot of 80s films are kind of more action based. This is like the least action based film you could ever imagine, probably. I don't know what it is. It just inspired a lot of other things after it. It kind of picks on that idea of the different types of people in school, basically, like the nerd, the brain, jock, kind of. And I suppose at the very end, you just kind of learn that they've all got a lot more in common than they thought. And you find out about all the things about their parents and their family life. And it's just a really interesting film. And then it's just overloaded with 80s, with the fashion and the music and just some great bits of scripting and I don't know, I just really like the film.
All the kind of personas as you go along in the film, you know,
exactly,
all
yeah,
the kind
yeah.
of false personas that they
all these
they
things
all
that
portray
people think
to fit in, you know, they all do things to fit in school, and there's some kind of heavy moments in there, but they do pull it off really well, and yeah, for a young cast, they all do. Oh,
yeah,
I don't know.
They're really good actors.
It's a really, really good
strong,
but the script is one of the most solid scripts of probably any film of that era. It's a really, really good film. Stu, you got any points on that? Have you seen in a long time?
I haven't seen it for a long, long time. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched it. The main reason
it's
I like it.
It's not a bad rewatch.
I really, really like Emilio Estevez. I really
Yeah,
like
it's great.
A lot of 80s and 90s films that I like have got him. And Charlie Sheen and a lot
yeah.
of them. But yeah, as our man Hefty's saying, it's a good little look at, you know, not judging people just based on the social group that they find themselves in. And everyone's got a lot of the same problems, and people that you might think are light years away from you, you're actually a lot more alike than you would think. And it's easily relatable because we've all been there. We've all been pigeonholed when we were in school and, you know, some people later in life. And it's, yeah, and it's feel good as well. The music, and it's really lighthearted.
Music's class. Yeah.
It's for people who grew up in the 80s, you do get just that huge burst of nostalgia in the back of your brain that just puts a smile on your face. It's just a happy film to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure if this will be on anyone else's list. I'm going to go with proper nostalgia choice, which is Big from 1988.
Controversial.
Really?
Yeah, see, I haven't got any Tom Hanks films on mine, but if I was, I bet you can guess which mine would be.
The 80s?
Turner and Hooch? Is
exactly.
That the 80s?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Turner and Hooch, because it's got a big fucking dog.
It's got a dog.
It.
It's got a fucking dog in it. I'm going to go, Big for me is just a film I remember growing up. I think it's one of my dad's favourite films, and it's got, you know, we will still watch that together. If it's on, it's very much a film that's on at Christmas. I love that, you know, we're all kind of man children, let's be perfectly honest. And it shows what it's like to kind of be a child in a modern society, in a grown up world, and he brings a lot of that child enthusiasm and adolescence to other people's lives, and it just makes them happier. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I loved about this film. The scene with the giant piano is one of my favourite scenes in cinema. It's a cool movie, and again, it's got a good soundtrack. And I love it. I think it's a top, top film. Seeing that Stu entirely dismissed it, Si, do you enjoy the film Big, or are you equally dismissive?
I love this film. This is amazing film. It's just one of those films that I must have been quite young when I watched it. I'm trying to remember. I don't know. I was probably like, I was out in 88. I didn't watch it when it was first out, but I was definitely young, and it's one of those.
Seven, yeah.
It's kind of one of those films you watch, and you're like, man, I would like, I really want that to happen to me. You know, you're just like,
yeah.
I'm sure there was thousands of people who watched that film, and they went down, and they found some.
I think
type of
when
old
I was
machine.
A kid, I wanted to grow up as well, man. I wanted to be more grown up. It was something I think a lot of kids do. It's that kind of jealousy of, you know, I grew up in a pretty small town, and I mean, so did you. You grew up in Ireland. Everywhere's a small town in Ireland, but even the big city. But it's one of those things where it's like, you just kind of want more. You want to be able to drive. You want to be able to, you know, do things that grown-ups can do. And it's that kind of that kid living out that fantasy, really.
And and I think this is one of Tom Hanks's best acting
roles
as well. Because be able to act that way, because he is a little bit of a kid. I've always thought, anyway,
kid.
You know.
Yeah,
and he just has the perfect way of.
It's his mannerisms. A lot of people, if they tried to play a child in an adult's body, it would come off as cheesy. With him, he really does in a non-insulting way. I know I'm not being dismissive of it. I just think that Tom Hanks has done better. But
he has done better.
A very good film. And again, it makes you smile because it's not too serious. Everyone's got to have films that you watch and they're just a little bit stupid and goofy and there's no major serious plot. And
isn't that 90% of what you watch?
Probably higher than 90. It's probably about
90. Yeah, I you like do watch literally all think. The CW shows, though.
Yeah.
Stu, let's come back to your technical joint number five.
Young Guns. Basically, because as a kid, I was obsessed with cowboys and especially with Billy the Kid. One of my favourite things to read about. I used to do loads of projects about it in primary school between that and in like ancient Rome and Knights of the Round Table and stuff like that. But Billy the Kid is one that even as an adult now, I still love watching documentaries and reading books about it. So to see a film made about it, I was going to go for Young Guns 2, which I actually think is a better film. But Young Guns 2
that
wasn't out until
1990. Young Guns 2.
It wasn't even out until 1990.
I've never seen Young Guns 2.
I've never seen it.
Young Guns 2 is actually a better film. It's slightly higher budget, slightly better production. But the first one, if you look at the cast, Emilio Estevez, Lou Diamond Phillips, Charlie Sheen, and Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer was the king of the 80s, man. Well, fucking hell. Lost Boys, Stand By Me, Young Guns.
And the thing
he's ruled it.
It's actually based on a lot of historically accurate events, but with a bit of a twist on it. So it's you learn as well. Learning is fun.
Learning is fun.
Yeah, learning can be fun too.
Sharing is caring, apparently.
Yeah, let's not go there. Sci, number four.
This is Spinal Tap.
Oh.
I can't believe no one else thought of that film, but it's not.
It's on my list.
Typical 80s film, but
it's on my list, but it's not in the top five.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
Just anyone who's either in a band or likes any, you know, has played in a band or has any kind of know how of bands and music, this is just the perfect film. Probably one of the first mockumentaries ever made, I'd say. Is it?
Yeah, it's a pretty pioneering film.
Original, yeah.
I can say, having been in a band, that is exactly what it's like.
It really is.
Life is just like being in Spinal Tap. Only my drummer never spontaneously combusted.
But they always die.
Yeah,
it's really funny because people believed it, though. I mean, that's the big thing about this, and that's why this film is so amazing, is that, you know, in the 80s, people told Rob Reiner that they loved it, but they should have chosen a more well-known band for the documentary. Like, people genuinely believe that this is a real band. And
best of all,
I mean, I know
that,
a lot.
They did go on to be a real band. They did start doing
it. Yeah, and they actually toured, and they released an album and everything.
And then they
I mean, that's happened over the
years.
Yeah, weren't the Monkees just a TV show before they came?
Yeah.
So it has happened before, and obviously then became, fucking hell, you know, these ridiculous talent contests, and they all go on to do shit. But this is one of the most fun films, you know. Again, like you, I haven't seen this for such a long time, and it's one of those films that I've seen, but then I've seen so many bits of it, but not.
Yeah,
not sat down for 1 hour 22 minutes. It's ridiculous.
It's the most quotable film. Yeah,
everyone understands the reference of turning it up to 11. So it's one of those things that's really permeated pop culture. Even if you've not seen it, you know
it's a heavy pop culture. Yeah, it's the film that came out this year that I've covered the 80s. Ready Player One. Yeah, I mean that is got turned up to 11 and fucking and more pop culture for references, more 80s references than anything really I've ever seen. But
that's a really good choice. What's your favourite Spinal Tap song?
Probably Big Bottom, but it's so hard to pick. I love Stonehenge as well. The Stonehenge song is just, oh my god.
Big Bottom, I don't know. I love Tonight. I'm gonna rock you tonight.
Yeah.
I actually learned to play that just because it's
Spinal. Oh, you legend.
Amazing. I do try and it's a film that I try and watch about once every year if possible to read because I actually like I work in the music industry, so it's a nice reminder of how real a lot of that stuff is, and it's just I just love that film so much. And the music is brilliant in it too.
Yeah.
Like, they're actually really good songs as well.
It's
not,
amazing.
You know,
and
crap
people
songs.
Don't understand
really
the
good
of,
songs.
Like, Harry Shearer is most known for The Simpsons, but he did actually go away and learn how to play the bass just for this. And they created these all original characters just for the film, but then the characters became so big and so much bigger than real life that they ended up as an actual real band going on TV shows as Spinal Tap, never breaking character.
It's genius, man.
And Nigel Tufnell, I forget what the guy's actual real name is, had never
He went on to make like loads more of those type of films then.
Yeah.
He made
I don't think he knew how to play guitar before he was cast in this, and then he learned how to properly play, and It's awesome. You've made me want to watch it now. I really want to
watch
it.
You played the guitar.
I'm going to have to watch it.
I have to say that he makes the best, when he's playing the guitar, he makes the best electric guitar face I've ever seen in my life. Just keeps sticking his tongue in and perking his lips up, but it's just fantastic.
He's been watching a lot of Kiss at that era.
Oh, yeah.
And
Aerosmith
it's
everything.
One of those things, Christ, I'm really torn, you know, because this is such a hard thing to do. I could reel off top 10 without even blinking, and I'm going to have to leave out a big film or two of my top five, but I'm going to go to Goonies.
Can't argue with
not,
Goonies.
It's not really in order. The Goonies can go from 1 to 5 at any given moment, but this is my childhood film growing up. This is the film that I watched. I had a really shit recorded VHS copy of that I think missed out the first 5 minutes. Right. And so
no,
the car chase scene at the beginning when the Fratellis are doing that car chase all through the city and they hit the kind of, I don't know, like Destruction Derby type thing. Do you know what I mean? Like in the pipe tunnels or wherever the hell it is. And they're driving past all the characters that are in the film. That isn't on that VHS copy.
Aww.
Oh, man, that's like one of the best bits.
So for many years until it came on ITV every Saturday, I kind of missed that part. And I was like, and I watched it and I went,
so did you think you were getting like a director's cut or something?
I felt like I had a director's cut, yeah. There was an 8, 9, 10-year-old me going, shit, this is awesome. I've never seen this bit before. Do you know what I mean? This is a car chase. This is great. And that's kind of quite important in the film because it's an introduction to the villains before you get to know the villains. But even the moment after that, when you get to Sean Austin's house and you've got a really young, who's the guy who played Thanos? How can I not remember that?
Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin, who's the older brother. And you got Sean Austin, Josh Brolin. A lot of the other characters haven't gone on to do a lot. The kid who played Data is obviously in an Indiana Jones film, but I don't think he's had any career post then. But at the time, they're all just my idols, to be honest, because I loved each quirk about them. I mean, it's about as 80s a film as you can get. It's
the 80s
proper all-American kind of film. It's got soundtrack with two tracks from Cyndi Lauper, which is about as 80s as you can get. I know today you watched Robin Sparkles, How I Met Your Mother.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
And she is essentially ripping off Cyndi Lauper in the right kind of way. And it's brilliant. And yeah, everything about this film, it's a proper adventure film. They're doing it. It's that kind of jocks versus geeks thing, which I always love. And it's just got everything. And it's such a happy film. It's got a great ending. And yeah, man, I mean, I introduced this to my son last year. It's one of those moments that all parents kind of want to do when they introduce a film of their childhood to their own kids. And he loved it. And I'm sure I'll watch it with him for many years to come. And yeah, I hope they never touch it. They never remake it. They never spoil it.
Oh, God,
it is,
no.
Oh, my God, I can't
it's
even.
It's one of those films. Yeah.
It's
just perfection to me for that era. And yeah, I can't think of many better that I just happily sit down on a Sunday afternoon and watch. So, Stu, number 3.
No, 4 for me. Don't forget. I had 2 5s.
All right. Don't be a twat.
Batman.
Ooh.
Original Batman. Michael Keaton.
I'm surprised. When did Returns come out? Was it 90s?
Yeah,
I think 91 maybe.
Okay, and I take Returns over
because
but
that was the first big superhero film of my lifetime. Because the Superman ones didn't really count. Because the first Superman film was the '70s. The first one in the '80s was Superman 2, which was Ace, and that's on my backup list. But as you know, I've always been more of a Batman fan, and that literally started with the original Batman film when I was maybe 7 or 8.
It's a great original
film. It's never gone away since then. Jack Nicholson was, until Heath Ledger, the archetypal Joker, and he's still regarded by many as being the best. A lot of people still think he was a more true portrayal of the character. Michael Keaton was a brilliant Batman. He you know,
he
was the first person to give the world I am Batman, and he didn't have to do it like this as well. He just used his normal voice. And it makes me appreciate it even more knowing that on the set of Spider-Man Homecoming, he was walking around randomly saying, I am Batman, just to make Tom Holland laugh.
You won't have seen, and this is a big film of Simon's favourite, is it Birdman of the last few years?
Yeah.
I've not seen it yet because you keep telling me to.
I think you need to watch it.
It's quite trippy and it's quite out there.
Yeah.
But it's got that kind of throwback to him becoming Batman a little bit. In a lot of ways.
And he's
obviously had a mixed career, but I'm really glad he's kind of come back around into favour because he played a great Vulture in Homecoming, a really good villain. And Birdman was a few years ago, and he's just kind of found that post kind of career.
He's done a Robert Downey Jr. in a way, hasn't he, without the scandal. He's had his brilliant moment, he's gone away, but then he's managed to pull himself back. And because they said, didn't he, that Birdman did get him the role of the Vulture because it reminded people, shit, this is what Michael Keaton can do. This is his range. This is how brilliant he can be. And, you know, fair play to him because it must be hard to go away and then to come back. But
yeah,
I will always...
Yeah, because he was big in the 80s because Beetlejuice as well was in the 80s,
Beetlejuice
was
on the backup list. I've got a lot of time for this Batman film, no matter how good the modern ones may have been with the Dark Knight trilogy. I will always go back and enjoy Batman. Always.
Yeah, and Kim Basinger was great in the original Batman. You had Michael Goff, which we talk about all the time.
Yeah, he's
Alfred. As Alfred. Yeah,
he is just the Alfred.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeremy Irons is good, but it's all about the original.
And it was kind of, for me, I mean, Burton's kind of peak Batmobile was around too. That era. Do you know what I mean? You had Batman Returns, which I adore, and then he went on to do like Scissorhands and, you know, Beetlejuice, and so
he went into his Johnny Depp phase.
Yeah, and it worked out occasionally, but not always. Yeah, it's a good choice. It's a really solid choice. It's a film that I being honest, I haven't watched for a really long time.
I think I watched it last year.
Yeah, I do need to go back and watch it. Maybe we can do a rewatch and talk about it. Returns as well, because Returns is just wicked. Si, what have you gone for, number three?
I have gone for, this is quite hard, but I think I ended up with Ghostbusters as my number three.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Snap.
I couldn't leave it. I mean, I found this really, really tough, but that was kind of, it's just one of the films, you know, it's one of those films I just, when I watched it first, I was just floored by it. I don't know how old I must have been. I was just probably 12 or 13 or something, maybe.
Yeah.
Younger, possibly, but I must have watched that film like so many times. 35. So when was it out? Like
84.
So I probably would have watched it around 10, I'd say 11.
I was born in 84. I distinctly remember getting a Ghostbusters toy.
The toys were incredible.
I had one of the cars on my fourth birthday, and I remember being, it's one of my first memories, I remember being so gullible that the night before, you know, my birthday, I couldn't sleep, and I went downstairs and my parents were wrapping it, or I saw the box, and they were like, no, that's not a toy for your birthday, it's an empty box. And I was like, oh shit, oh well, you know, oh it's cool, it's an empty box, I'm four, this is amazing, you know. and then they literally sidelined me.
So you were an idiot.
I went down. Yeah, but I mean, which 3 or 4 year olds aren't? I'm sorry, well, my daughter isn't, she's a genius, but I wasn't, I clearly wasn't. And
she
I
must get that
it.
From
a
mother.
Exactly. There I was you a go. Very gullible young. I was still free technically at that stage.
But it's just
it sticks, man. It was the memories of a generation. It's such a brilliant
it's
film.
The archetype,
when you talk about CG, Stu, this film pushed so many CG boundaries.
This is the one I was talking about before when I mentioned it.
That's what you were thinking of. Yeah.
Even now, when you go back and look at it, you look at how Slimer looks, and it doesn't look crap. I don't know how they did it. But it still looks good now. The bit in the
looks great.
The library where you first
see the
librarian. It doesn't look cheesy. It doesn't look low budget. It stands up now, and that is telling, considering it's an 80s film. What was it? Was it
84, man.
84 or 10, yeah.
That
which is incredible.
84 still holds up now.
Yeah, and my kids again love it. Like my little boy loves it, and it's the proper kind of put it on around Halloween time, and that's always fun.
Yeah.
The thing I didn't remember about it until I watched it a couple of years ago is that they chain smoke throughout the film.
Yeah.
And it just epitomizes the 80s for me. If you watch it again, you watch how much time they're smoking on screen. It's remarkable.
Especially Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And you've got Bill Murray in the beginning. It was it's one of those things where.
Let's go talk about that. The cast is incredible.
It's a little bit risque at times, isn't it? You know, the way he's a bit of a sexual predator.
He's a bit of a sex pest. He's a bit of a sex pest. Yeah.
You know, he's like an adorable sex pest. But yeah, the cast is just brilliant.
Yeah, you got Murray and Aykroyd together, and then Harold Ramis. It was directed by Ivan Reitman.
It was all about Harold Ramis and Bill Murray.
Yeah,
because you've got
such a good team.
The ultimate slapstick in Bill Murray, and then Ramis is just Mr. Straight Face, but he still gets a couple of really banging lines in it.
Yeah, they've gone on to work so well together because Groundhog Day, Stripes is a really favourite film of mine, which is 81, and that was really old school, but that's really fun.
Shit.
Yeah, and it's just, they were such a great combination. And you had a sort of young Sigourney Weaver as well, and she was just so good. Yeah. Did you mention Rick Moranis? Because Rick Moranis was just the king of the 80s, man, Rick Moranis. Jesus. You know, you had Spaceballs, and you had like Little Shop of Horrors, and Ghostbusters. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids might have pushed into the 90s.
Could have been late 80s, early 90s.
It's on me back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that.
Is it really that old? It is 89. Jesus. Shit, so it's late 80s.
Don't forget that looks pretty good.
In the 90s.
And then they did
that third film, right? Honey, I something.
Blew up the baby was number two. But
there
I don't
you
know.
Go. Oh, is it?
Yeah. Did they shrink themselves or something ridiculous? There's another one. It's kind of classic of the era. He went off to just basically retire and be a parent and just be normal, which is weird. Cause
he did an article about it last year in major news, and they were asking him, and he said, so what have you been doing? And he literally did. He was like, I did me films and I just went away to have a life. And you know, he's one of those people where there's always seems to be rumours about him. You know, has he died? Has he gone and joined a sex cult? It was like, no, I just went to have a life.
Do you know when we stop podcasting eventually, Stu? I'm going to say you went off to join a sex cult. I'm sorry, but that's what's going to be.
I probably have.
Yeah, I know, I'm slightly concerned. I've been worried all this time. It's going to happen anyway. Life goals, right? Yeah. Oh, God, I'm so torn. Do you know what? Because I got to talk about Ghostbusters, do I leave it off? Because it was probably my number three, but
we can go back and do some of the maybes, because my list for the maybes is full.
Oh, yeah, I have a lot.
It's like a who's who of awesome films.
Do you know what? I'm going to leave it off for now. I know. I'm being a bit cheeky. Do you know what? It's really hard to
Pope's
do. Because
prerogative.
There's four films that
Ghostbusters
need to fit
2
into three spots.
That was 1990.
I'm going to be honest. The film I really need to include, but I'm not going to, is Blade Runner. The reason I'm not going to put it on is because I really wouldn't have enjoyed it as a child or a teen or even an older teen. It took me probably until I was in my 20s to really get something like Blade Runner.
That's fair.
And obviously, it's a pioneering 80s film, and I get that. But it wasn't a film that I remember from my childhood. So that's my kind of choice. Do you know, that's the way I'd kind of leave it out there. As much as I love it, and I love the sequel.
It's not one for kids, is it?
I felt like that as well about it, yeah.
Yeah,
I only started getting into my 30s, to be honest.
I loved sci-fi and always have, but just not of that complexity because I just wasn't really smart enough to really get the full picture. You know?
But it's really heavy going, isn't it? And it deals with some really heavy themes that a kid just, like, cool robots is like just the surface.
I'm going to put on, still tough, still four films that I really can't squeeze into three. I'm going to put on Stand By Me.
I actually thought when The Breakfast Club was mentioned before, I wondered if anyone was going to say Stand By Me. I actually think Stand By Me is a better film than The Goonies.
It is a better film.
It's so close.
And again, to me, I think I got more out of The Goonies when I was younger because it's a little bit more accessible. I think Stand By Me for for all it is, it's a friendship film. It's for me, it's the best film ever made about true friendship, you know, and the kind of heartache of it. And you got River Phoenix, just wonderful. And it's such a shame we didn't get to see a lot more of him because he died so young.
But he died a couple of times, just on a side note, outside the Viper Room. Yeah,
and again, it was a Rob Reiner film, which is quite interesting. Corey Feldman in his peak. Obviously, the 80s was big for Corey Feldman. And a very young Will Wheaton, and obviously Kiefer Sutherland as a kind of antagonist, which he does so well. But the script was incredible. And
what's his name? Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah. it's to be honest,
it's man, incredible.
Everyone that came out of that film is someone, you know. It's obviously a Stephen King book, quite famously. It's a short story that they adapted, but it's just got everything. I love it as a buddy film. I love it as a kind of emotional piece because it's really got a lot of depth there. But it's just the kind of thing. America at that period just made the kind of films that wanted you to go out with your friends, and you know what I mean. It's crazy. They had a habit of just wanting you to just be adventurous. And when you're growing up with your mates, it's kind of what you wanted to do. Obviously, you play sports and play games and all that, but ultimately, it's just about having fun and having an adventure. And that's what this film really was about. I adore this film. And honestly, any other day it'd be kind of number one because I could just watch it. Always. And all these films are just like that. You know, there isn't a time where it's like, I don't fancy that. I'd happily, if Ghostbusters is on, I'll watch it. Die Hard's on, I'll watch it. You know,
definitely. Ghostbusters is probably one of the films I've watched most in my entire life, and it never loses any sort of enjoyment or impact.
No. Stu, you got a number two
I'm up to number two, Empire Strikes Back.
That's a shout.
For obvious reasons, because it's
that would
great
be my
sequel.
Number two as well.
I presume that we pretty much all get that on our list. Yeah,
you've got to. It's the ultimate sequel. It's the sequel better than the original, and it's perfect. It's just the perfect film. And again, I've watched it so many times.
I've watched it
50 times minimum. And I remember watched that and enjoyed it as much as a 30-something-year-old as I did as a, you know, 15-year-old. As I can't remember how old I was the first time I watched it, but I was pretty young. But Star Wars films are so accessible, aren't they? You know, there's no real graphic violence, there's no bad language. It's quite PG-13, so it's more than acceptable for a kid to get into it. And it probably started the lifelong obsession with sci-fi.
Yeah, I mean, I watched A New Hope as much as I watched this. And for a long period of time, I know everyone loves Empire more and says it's a better film. I was really torn between the two, actually. I loved the original because of what it brought to the genre as much as anything else. And obviously, I was too young, but I just adored, you know, the original. But Empire is the better film. Yeah. And to be honest, it is the defining sci-fi film of any generation, you know? So it's
certainly of our generation.
Yeah, it is. It is. And obviously, I mean, you talk about the CG in films and that did take it up a notch, you know, there was some incredible things that happened in that film. I love the snow stuff at the beginning. I think it's just incredible. I just adore it. It's a film you could do hours and hours talking about, and I think it's a fair shout that we all included it. Si, any particular reason why it's on your list other than the very obvious?
Not really, no. It's just such a perfect film. I mean, it's got like we've got like Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Darth Vader, all kind of at their best in the films. It's kind of the most time that they spend on screen, probably. And then Jedi is a shout as well, but I just always liked Empire better.
Where do you think Jedi, which is on the backup list, where do you stand on the Ewoks?
I used to hate them, and then I kind of came back around, and now I kind of hate them again. I think if they weren't in the film, it would be the better film.
See, for me personally.
No, I don't think it'd be. I forgive them, man. Like I forgive them.
I'm just
I
a heartless bastard.
Yeah, you are. I know. I mean, we all hate Jar Jar, but I like Paul.
If you come back around to Jar Jar,
If you come round to Jar Jar, I'm having you sectioned.
You've joined the sex cult.
I'm the president of the sex cult if I've come back around to Jar Jar. It's the worrying concern if that ever did happen. I literally lost the whole plot. Do you know what? I don't know how we're supposed to squeeze these into five. I've got a joint top and I don't give a shit, to be honest, because it's my podcast.
Can we all have a joint top?
Hit me with yours. We'll all have a joint top.
My number one.
Yeah.
Transformers the movie.
Holy shit.
Do that.
The anime.
You're the only man in the world that would pick this. Oh, actually, not the only man in the world.
Fucking perfect. It's better than Star Wars. It's better than Ghostbusters.
Oh,
it's awesome. It's got a giant talking T-Rex. Me Grimlock King.
Oh, okay. That is a good point, though. It does make a valid point.
It's the main reason I invited you on this pod, because I knew you wouldn't go conventional. I knew you wouldn't go conventional. Everyone else, you know, would pick the very generic, obvious 80s movies. And you've gone Transformers, Young Guns. What else did you throw in there? You've got Ghostbusters, quite conventional. But fucking hell, Transformers the movie, that's quite a shout and a half, man. You love this film. I love Transformers.
Transformers was the first like product line I ever got obsessed with as a kid.
That'll do it.
My mum and dad have told me many, many times about when I become a parent at some point in the future. You know, wait until you've got the Christmases where you spend 3 months looking for one sodding toy. And my mum and dad are traipsing around Liverpool, Manchester, Southport, Wigan just to find one thing. And I'm like, okay, but then next year it's Thundercats. But even now, I've probably watched this film. It's probably one of the film I've watched the most, because I was able to watch this as a kid and I've watched it steadily since then. And I could probably recite it word for word, start to finish, with all the relevant actions and fight scenes in it. It's awesome. And if anyone's not seen it, get in the bin.
I have seen it. I've seen it a few times. I will come back around to it.
You must have watched it with your son.
Not yet, actually. And he went through his Transformers phase. And
I'm 36 and I'm still in mine. If my Transformers phase ever finishes, I'll probably need a doctor.
Oh, man. Si, you won't have Transformers. I know that for a fact.
I won't have Transformers. But
I really don't know what you've got. It's one of two, and I really don't know which one it'll be.
I don't have Transformers, but I do need to just add that it is a fucking brilliant film.
Thank you.
It is really good. Right, like, really is good.
It is.
My top is Back to the Future.
Oh, you legend.
Possibly. Yeah. It's probably the obvious pick, but Back to the Future is... It got you happy.
Oh, mate. To be honest, it's one of two, because I've struggled, but it is one of my two at the top. I adore Back to the Future with every ounce of my being, to be honest. Stu, I'm intrigued in your take on Back to the Future. You must like it.
I fucking love it. I absolutely love it. Both of the films, one and two, I can't remember when three was out, but the first two are both 80s films and they're both on my list.
I really wanted
to put them on. I remember watching them in school. Do you know at the end of term, you'd have like a video day and a game.
They roll out the video on the stand.
Back to the Future and Ghostbusters and Jaws and Gremlins were always I was going to put Gremlins down, but I prefer Gremlins 2, and Gremlins 2 was 90s, which really fucked me off. That probably would have gone in ahead of Young Guns and Die Hard, to be honest. Yes. But Back to the Future is brilliant. And one thing which is quite topical, because I was talking about it with Michelle before, a bit of sort of highlights the legacy of it, knowing that it was the inspiration for Rick and Morty, which is obviously one of the most popular TV shows around at the minute. And Michelle hadn't even realized that it was the inspiration, because he changed it just enough, even though originally it was called Doc and Morty. Before
was it really?
Yeah. when
if it wasn't Dude, if it wasn't more obvious, I've not seen Rick and Morty yet because I was like used to. I struggled to get into it, but I will come back around to it. But
when Dan Harmon first created it was called
Knock
and Morty.
From a screenshot perspective, that was Back to the Future, Nick. Do you know what I mean? So I saw it anyway. But
and it's Michael J. Fox, who is one of the absolute kings of the 80s.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know what? If there's more tragedies than Rick Moranis, it's the fact that Michael J. Fox wasn't allowed the career he was going to have, to be honest, because he was, he's a hero in a lot of ways in terms of, you know, such a brilliant actor of that era.
He just had perfect comedy timing.
He just had everything though. He was such, you know, the charisma. I adore Back to the Future. I could probably recite it and maybe even three, word for word.
I love three. Three is one of my guilty pleasures.
I haven't seen three for a long time.
A lot
actually,
of people don't rate it, but I think it's fun.
I don't care. They're all great. Do you know what I mean? I know three isn't quite of the same, and I love two. For a long time, two was better than one for me.
When we were in there.
It's hard to pick, actually. Yeah.
And when we were doing the back lot tours, we went past the original set where they used it for the town square. And I was buzzing like a kid because it's an empty back lot with, you know, just a not even a soundstage. It's just the empty front of the courthouse. But it's the fucking courthouse with the bell tower.
Mate, and who didn't want a hoverboard? You want a hoverboard.
Oh, my God.
Everybody wants a hoverboard.
And the self-lacing trainers.
Self-lacing shoes, which I think they made them.
No, Nike made them last year for the anniversary.
Yeah, a couple of hundred quid, so that can
and
get
the old self-drying jacket, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
everyone knows about the Almanac and stuff, or whatever it is, the sports thing about the betting and all the influence and that. And everyone loves Biff as a kind of villain, and even all his Biff and his buddies, and they always got the classic manure in the car, and it was just classic, man. It's just got so many fond memories.
And a few shows have done the parodies of the guitar playing scene as well.
A scene. Yeah.
Family Guy did a brilliant one where Brian's playing a keytar and a guy rings his cousin, which is Rick Astley.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh.
So good.
And then, the Simpsons did one in the episode they did where Homer was having his grunge phase and it was Kurt Cobain's cousin that was calling him. when Homer was in sadgasm.
I think it has one of my favorite intros ever where he's late for school and he's just like hitching a ride on the back of the cars. And then the bit before that when he's playing the guitar, just turns the amp, everything will fall, all the buttons on.
It's brilliant. It's just brilliant. And
the soundtrack for that over that bit as well, Power of Love.
Yeah.
Come on. 80s power songs. You can't beat it.
And what he's wearing, this little...
I'm planning to do a trilogy season at some stage, and Back to the Future for me is...
It's so hard to pick
the
best.
Star Wars
it is close,
Rings and Toy Story and anything.
Oh,
really.
Don't say
it's
Toy
just...
Story. You'll make me fucking cry. I'm still not over Toy Story 3.
It's got so
No one will ever be over Toy Story 3.
No,
it's okay.
It's right in the feels, man.
That reminded me, talking about over, what do you two guys think about Airplane?
I like it, but...
Because that's on my backup list, and I always think the lines from it, like over Macho Grande, I'll never be over Macho Grande. Are you afraid?
I need to watch it again because...
Me too, yeah. It's been a while.
Humour of that nature wasn't... I didn't get it growing up. You know, I mean, I was too young, really, for stuff like that, so it didn't really hit me in that era. But there's loads of that in Trading Places and... all sorts of really classic kind of 80s comedies.
Well, when I was saying before, I get me sense of humour off me dad, it started with Airplane. That was one of the big ones. And then another one, Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah. That's an 80s film as well, yeah.
Yeah. The first Naked Gun was a big one
it's
for me.
It's got so many quotable lines, man. It's one of the most classic films of that. I used to watch that all the time. Any kind of Leslie Nielsen film is so much fun, to be honest. His Dracula one is just incredible. I've not done my number one because you've done Back to the Future, so I'll just go for Raiders of the Lost Ark and be done with it. I adore The Last Crusade and Raiders. Temple of Doom, not so much. But Raiders for me is just the classic. You know, we talk about adventure films. The soundtrack, when you first hear it and that moment, there's not much better history for cinema than me.
It's one of those musical cues, isn't it, with, say, Superman and Star Wars, where you hear it and you just instantly go, yeah, Indiana Jones.
Yeah, and it brings a smile to my face any given day it would. And I love Harrison Ford. I think he's an incredible actor, and we talk about actors from the 80s, and he's up there with the best.
He had a hell of a 15-year span towards the end of the 70s into the 80s. He had a hell of a run with Star Wars and Indiana Jones. Jesus.
Yeah.
And Blade Runner.
And Raiders, a little bit like some of the other films. It's quite a dark film in a lot of ways. There's some bold stuff in Raiders. Do you know what I mean? It's not a... You know, it's got people's dying on screen quite boldly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a film that's for the lighthearted when you're a young age, but everyone watched it as a kid. And I don't know, there's so much to like about it. The cast is just incredible. It's a Spielberg classic. It must be a John Williams soundtrack, isn't it?
Spielberg at his best.
It really is. And like I said, I'm going to do a trilogy season. It's going to be one of the things we need to talk about.
I'm going to have to go back and watch so many of these, because when I was when I started doing research afterwards to make sure I'd not missed any off, I was looking going, I haven't seen that for a few years. I haven't seen that. And the list of films I need to watch is just...
I know.
I need to take three weeks off work just to watch films.
I need to read out a few that people have mentioned politely in response to a couple of tweets and in the group and stuff. Zara Zaidi, good friend of ours. Ferris Bueller, Gremlins, Top Gun, Goonies, Ghostbusters, Breakfast Club. Coming to America, yes!
Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Eddie Murphy had a good spell as well, Coming to America, Trading Places, Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, Beverly Hills Cop, incredible.
Raging
Bull, Shining, Whitnell and I, Do the
Shining,
Right Thing.
Jesus.
Yeah, Shining's on a lot of people's
lists. Unbelievable,
Shining was 70s?
No, it's...
Must just 80s. Be 80, is it?
Yeah, I think it might be 80, 81. Right. There's a few that sneak in really at that 1980, 81, which have that kind of 70s vibe still to them. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's how they kind of work.
The Shining still scares the shit out of me now.
Oh,
absolutely terrifies me.
Even in Ready Player One, they reenacted the scene from that, and it's fucking scary, and it's done with that kind of Ready Player One style. You know, it's different. It's not the same.
I'm glad a few people have said Gremlins, because I absolutely fucking love Gremlins. That's one of my favourite childhood ones, because who didn't want a pet Mogwai?
Oh, man.
Everyone wanted a pet Mogwai. Yep. If you didn't, you just lying because you knew that you couldn't take care of it and you'd end up feeding it after midnight. That's up there. But yeah, I prefer Gremlins 2 because I think the practical effects got a little bit better, and then they brought in all the different ones, like they had the woman one and the spider gremlin and the boss gremlin, and it just got a little bit better. And again, I remember watching that loads in school on video day. We always wanted to watch Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, Gremlins and Jaws.
It's just Spielberg and 80s and nostalgia, and it's just all great together.
Bring it
A couple of people, Cobbs Grove on Twitter, Airplane, Stand By Me, Shining, Ghostbusters, Ferris Bueller, LFC Owl, and it's a picture of an avi of an owl in an LFC hat. Brilliant. The Shining, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Platoon, The Goonies, Stand By Me.
Platoon is an interesting one.
Platoon is mentioned a lot, actually, I must say.
Yeah.
Platoon comes up a lot on
a lot
of people's...
Predator?
No one's
one person
said
did.
Did they?
I think.
Probably Guy.
Guy definitely said Predator.
Yeah,
and
it's gotta be Guy Drinkle.
I knew I could count on Guy.
Definitely. You can always count on Guy for
Predator.
Predator's
fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's a fucking brilliant.
Have you seen the trailer for the latest one?
I haven't, actually. It's Shane Black, though, so I'm intrigued by it.
It's R-rated. So it's going to be bloody as hell. There's going to be, like, spines flying around and everything. It looks like... Ian, my former cinema pal, he said as well, with Shane Black doing it, you know, he kind of knows what it's like to be in, you know, the best Predator film. So, yeah, it's in good hands.
Harinder Singh, friend of ours, E.T., Karate Kid's a shout.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street, Rocky IV, Rain Man.
Rocky IV, the best Rocky film, bar none.
Let's have a look.
That's a good list.
Tubbs.
That's a really balanced list. That's
Full Metal Jacket. The Shining, Blade Runner, Empire Strikes Back.
What a look for The Shining.
Yeah.
Luke Chandler, E.T., Ghostbusters. E.T. is a shout. I don't know. It's so hard to. It was so hard for me to leave that
it's
off.
It's so hard. The whole
top
thing.
Five 80s films is like saying to you, pick your favourite child right now.
It's really tough. Someone mentioned Weird Science. Jesus. Superman, yeah. Indiana Jones, Gremlins, Big Trouble in Little China.
Superman
what a film.
Superman wasn't 80s. I'm going to have to know that one. Superman was late 70s.
It was gags.
The gags Superman did without the in 80s. Superman yeah. 1
just Gags is old. It's old. Feels like 80s, 70s. Feels like the 80s.
When the first Superman film came out, you think he'd know.
He was podcasting back then.
He was podcasting on a wireless somehow. Guy Drinkle, Die Hard, Star Wars, Empire, Big, Beetlejuice, Predator. Good man.
He got six in the cheeky Predator pick.
The Predator good. Was there. Rambo, I don't know if Rambo's 80s, is it?
It was, yeah. First Blood was early 80s.
Gags also mentioned another 20 because he doesn't know how to do top 5. Back to the Future, Ferris Bueller, Terminator, which we haven't talked about. Top Gun epitomizes 80s. Yeah, it was on my list down the way. Scarface, Poltergeist. Which is so heavily influenced to things like Stranger Things, Airplane, Trading Places, Aliens. Oh God, Aliens is incredible.
Aliens was
well.
For me. I don't know how I didn't put that on. I just couldn't fit it in there.
Again, the practical effects in that. It's
oh my God.
Have you ever seen any of the behind the scenes photos of the guy that played the Xenomorph? I think he was an Ethiopian lad, and this was his first acting job. And you see the behind the scenes photos of him, and he's wearing the skeleton, and he's just not got the helmet on, and it's creepy as fuck. It's creepy. He was quite young as well when he was in it, but it was all practical, and obviously famously Geiger inspired designs, and still to this day one of the best sci-fi trilogies.
Beverly Hills Cop, as we mentioned, incredible. What else have we got there? Everything else ranks. Evil Dead is really popular for that era, in fairness. It's not my style, but I get it.
Guilty pleasure, Evil Dead.
Yeah. Raging Bull was mentioned. It's a 1980. It feels like a 70s film.
Yeah,
it's black and white,
like
obviously.
70s.
Yeah, it obviously feels it. It's an incredible film. It's one of my favourite films of that kind of... I class it as a 70s film. I struggle not to because it feels... like that, do you know what I mean?
It's pretty made in the city, it's obviously just out.
Yeah, it's really like The Warriors, I think. 79, and Warriors is one of my favourite films.
The one with Kurt Russell?
No, The Warriors is no one really that famous. York.
You've told me about that and said I'd really like it, and it is on me.
I've
got it on me Netflix list of things to watch.
It's a really cool film. It's kind of a classic of that kind of era. It's really, really late 70s.
That's what I'm getting confused with.
You're thinking Escape from New York, Escape from LA, that kind of, Escape from New York might be 80s, Kurt Russell film, the first one. This has been awesome.
Do you want me to go down through some of mine?
There's so many films I want
to
watch.
Right. Hit me with a few other ones so we can
box them
off.
Ones that we haven't mentioned, Friday the 13th, Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Lethal Weapon. Police Academy.
Lethal Weapon.
Police Academy.
RoboCop.
Yes.
Now, this is one that I know you'll all like, Scrooged.
It's a great Christmas film.
Superman 2, Lost Boys, Naked Gun, Terminator, Spinal Tap, Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, that's a shout. It's an excellent shout.
Turner and Hooch.
My wife adores that film. I love it. It's great.
Weekend at Bernie's, and then finish on a big one. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
It's probably the best animation of that era. It's kind of early stage. I know it's crossover animation and real life stuff, but I've got a couple more. Only a couple more. It does stand up. It does. The Untouchables, 87. I love The Untouchables. I think it's an incredible film. There's a really good podcast done on it, on this very podcast by Joe Simpson, which you should go and listen to. What else? One other, which I noticed earlier, Good Morning Vietnam. Which I don't know. I just don't know what era I come in because obviously it's about Vietnam War, so it doesn't feel really 80s. but Robin Williams is probably one of his finest performances.
Regarded by many as, yeah, I know a lot of, I've read a lot of things in the aftermath of his death, and a lot of people think that was his pinnacle.
He's just his kind of magnetic, charismatic best. You know what I mean? I love Good Will Hunting. I think it's his best film, but he's done some excellent things, and I might well do a Robin Williams podcast at some stage to honour the great man. Simon, anything else on your list?
Just before we three start? Films that haven't been mentioned. I don't even know if people would have seen the pair of them. Adventures in Babysitting.
Nope.
Better Off Dead and American Werewolf in London.
Yeah,
American Werewolf in London is actually on my list to see. I've never.
It's a brilliant film.
I might have seen it, but I really don't remember it enough to warrant that. So I need to rewatch it.
Very, very good film.
Yeah, it's a really good.
Very, very scary. I thought.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that.
Better Off Dead is one of John Cusack's first films. It's kind of like a. Have you ever? It's like a snowboarding 80s film.
Sounds bizarre, but it sounds 80s.
It's really
now.
Cheesy, but it's brilliant. It actually is really good.
Sounds good. Yeah. This has been as much fun as I hoped it would be. Like Stu says, I literally just want to lock away everything and watch 80s films for about a week and a half until I'm fulfilled with 80s goodness. This has been really cool to have you both on. Stu, thanks for the left field shouts, man. You do have your very own sensibilities, man, and that's why you're here. And Si,
listening to go and watch Transformers the animated movie. It's brilliant. And it's got one of the best movie soundtracks ever because Weird Al Yankovic is on it. If you can listen to Dare to Be Stupid and not tap your feet. And the
I love that you were kind of leaning away from your mic for a period and you're kind of relaxing into this late night, and then as soon as you mention Transformers, you fly back to the microphone.
No,
magnetized.
I've got my microphone on my headset and I'd lifted it up so I wasn't breathing on it, and then I started talking and I just forgot. No, I wasn't trying
to be dramatic.
You
just got excited. It was dramatic. It worked.
I did it on purpose.
Si, always a pleasure, mate. I knew you'd have some great choices in there. Just classic 80s, really. Classic 80s. If anyone doesn't have Back to the Future on their top 5 or in their top 10 or whatever, or doesn't like it or hasn't seen it, what the hell are you doing with your life? Just go and watch it. Just watch it. I don't care. Just leave the baby, leave the job, do anything. Just go and watch Back to the Future. It's incredible. Thank you so much. It's been really fun to do this. I will come back and do a 90s one very soon, because this is a whole lot of fun reminiscing, and this is what you do this for. So thanks for everyone that listened and gave some great suggestions. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Stop.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.